This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Well, the Orioles are up to their old tricks again. They do lead 2-0. Tyler O'Neill walked.
Man, they had two runs before they got six outs.
But I mean, bad runner on third, and now
it was first and third, outs.
Yeah, first and third, no outs. Orioles up 2-0. Adley, man, solo homer in the first. Yeah, Tyler O'Neill walked. Ryan Mountcastle, double. Cedric Mullins, infield hit, scores the run. But then Cedric tried to steal second, was thrown out. Ramon
Urias. We all wanted him running there.
I'm all good with that, but he was thrown out. So now it's runner at third and one out, and Ramon pops out. So now two outs, man on third, Jackson Holliday up. But let's get to the Terps. Terps take on Florida tonight at 7:30.
Right here on these airwaves.
Yeah, pregame coverage at 6:30 right here on 105.7 The Fan. And
Popo and Alex?
I think so, yes.
Popo and me.
Yeah. Oh, Popo and the bum. Popo and the
Things really are right at the University of Maryland these days.
Yeah. Bum. Are you going to be wearing that big are you going to be wearing that big sweatshirt? Like you did when you were engineering?
No. No shot of me being on TV tonight.
Well, he's not in San Francisco.
He's here.
He's here, Gigi.
Speaking of being there, should Kevin Willard be there? Kevin Willard, by all accounts, is taking the Villanova job as soon as this season is over for Maryland, which could be as soon as tonight. Should Kevin Willard be coaching this game? And I bring that up for people who are just tuning in. A similar situation happened in 1989 where Bill Frieder was the head coach at the University of Michigan and announced before the start of the tournament. Now, Willard has not announced this, but everybody seems to know he's gone, that he was leaving for Arizona State at the end of the season. And Bo Schembechler, the AD at Michigan, said, no, you're leaving
now.
And Steve Fisher took over and led Michigan to the national championship. So should Kevin Willard be coaching this game tonight?
It's obviously a very different situation because there is no Bo Schembechler here. Not only do they not have an empowered former Hall of Fame head coach as the AD, they don't have an AD. And I think that a lot of people who would be involved in that decision are actively trying to find the next coach for the University of Maryland. So that's where their big picture focus is. I certainly think you could have one of his assistants do it, and you could tell him to get the hell out of here.
David canceled your hotel room,
find your own way back, or I'm sure Villanova's got a plane waiting for you somewhere anyway. We're done with you. Thank you for your service, and thank you for your service.
Yes.
That's obviously not going to happen, but I think it is a discussion worth having, and I do think that in his heart of hearts, Kevin Willard's known for weeks that he's leaving here, and that he wanted to create as much turmoil and sow as much dissent as possible on the way out for his own personal vindictive reasons. And I think he also doesn't want to be here anymore, and he wants him to lose this game, and he wants to jump on that Villanova plane and get the hell out of here and never talk about Maryland ever again. And so it's hard to have a guy who, like that, that's his character, that's where he is right now, that's his headspace, in charge of your program as it plays its biggest game in a decade, and arguably its biggest game since Gary Williams has been the head coach. So that's quite a dichotomy. This guy clearly is a self-serving SOB, and he has taken every advantage for his own selfish reasons, not for the good of the program moving forward, not for his kids, for him selfishly to leave here in a scorched earth situation, trying to have Maryland fans cast aspersions at everybody and anybody involved in keeping this program afloat. Look, Boomer Esiason's got more invested in this than any of us. And he was very level-headed about this and basically just, and if you want to hear the interview, you can go to
Odyssey app,
or you can even go to our Twitter at IA1057TheFan.
Everywhere it's you there. Find your podcast, too.
And you can hear the interview, and he's like, look, this is the world we're living in, and everybody's going to get theirs, and you have to just live with it. Well, I don't think that Kevin Willard needed to take this tack to get out of town. And there's a lot of things he could have said to leave on a more professional note. And I am certainly at a good riddance portion to this. But, like, to sit here and tell me that you think he wants this team to advance, I don't buy it.
But Boomer does.
He does, yeah. But I don't.
Yeah.
Because I don't think he thinks they're winning a national title, or he might have handled this a lot differently. I don't think he thinks they're beating Florida, or he might have handled this a lot differently. And I don't think he has anything invested, really, emotionally or otherwise, in this group. I think he's all about his next chapter of Kevin Willard's story up the road in Philadelphia.
It's just a shame. And I think we've all done a 180 on this situation going back to last Thursday when he initially went scorched earth. And you're thinking, okay, well, it's time.
We appreciated it then.
Yeah, absolutely. It's time for the program to really step up to the plate. But then when you see all of the reports and in the raise, you're talking $5 million a year and the rev share, and it sounds like the program met those demands, yet Kevin Willard is still going to bolt. And that's why it's just... it's hard supporting him. It's hard and putting up with any of this mess after he just dragged everyone through the mud. He used the kids as a shield and saying, I'm fighting for the kids, when it was never anything about that.
Push the AD out the door.
Yeah, push the AD out the door. And it's just a total mess when this team, we should be talking and breaking down everything about this game. It's their biggest game in 9 years. And they have the moment of the tournament thus far with Derek Queen's buzzer beater. Yet we're talking about this coach that is quitting on them, essentially. And we put out the poll, IA1057 the fan on Twitter. Assuming Kevin Willard has gone to Villanova, should Maryland pull Bo Schembechler and fire Willard immediately? Having someone else, maybe David Cox, friend of the show, coach the team tonight, or let Willard finish what he started? 650 votes in. A Maryland man coaches Maryland 59.1%. Ride with Willard 40.9%.
Go ahead, Jay.
I was going to say, the other problem, though, is like, okay, Greg Manning Jr., I buy it. Like, he's a Maryland guy, but like, is the other guy just going to go with Willard if he doesn't get a head coach job somewhere else?
He could.
So, like, are you going to give it to him? Like, he's going to coach the team? But, you know, I mean, what I mean?
It's about what choices do you have? Like, if you're not letting Willard coach. I'm with you in part of what you say. Like, I think he wants to get started on his next chapter ASAP. I don't think he's going to actively try to lose the game this evening.
I also think
the players who, almost everybody that matters, except for Juju, has been here 30 seconds, and I think they're actively going to try to win the game.
No, they are, but don't you think they can sense when their coach is really, really into it and when he's not?
Sure.
I'm not saying they're going to be thinking about it when they're playing, but just the lead up to this game, the type of speech he would give if he truly wanted this to be a seminal moment to springboard the program further, or if it was just an infomercial for Villanova and showing off for his next group, which it is. Like, I do think they have BS detectors. And, like, I feel bad for them because they ran around this guy when he was talking to the cameras after the last game.
Yes.
And they're making the case for him staying here. And that punk already knew he was leaving.
Yeah.
And he allowed that to happen. Yes. And I wonder if that sort of shamed him into changing his tune a little bit this week and trying not to talk about it. But remember, he also had the temerity to blame the media after he started all this and aired all the TMZ. Dirty laundry, calling other people TMZ and gossip mongers. And I can't win on Twitter with you bums, so do what you want. But I told you I'm staying here. Like, he literally had the balls to do all that.
Yes.
Knowing what his agent was telling these schools in real time.
And the other frustrating part about this is he, at the time, we thought he was leveraging them. And from what we hear, he got everything he wanted.
And he's still gone.
And he's still leaving.
Bellway Ben Hall, you were on this all week long. You said a one, I think, on Monday.
I think Monday was 6.5.
6.5.
Tuesday.
Tuesday
was one.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
I think he's a coward, to be completely honest with you. And I will never, ever root for him, no matter where he goes. He is not Maryland basketball. He's clearly never wanted to be here. There's a million stories you can find with just him complaining about stuff. And when he goes to DePaul on a road game and complains about the scheduling at Villanova and they lose somehow, and he says, I can't shoot the shot for the players, I'm going to be loving that because that's just what the guy is. Hopefully Maryland can find somebody who really wants to be at Maryland, who is doing a great job. And it's frustrating to me because after last year, there were a lot of people like, get him out, fire him. He did a horrible job with it. And I was one of the people that was like, let's wait another year, like give him time. Now I'm mad at myself. Like, I wish last year I was like, get him out, because here I am listening to the press conference that you've brought up a million times, Tim, where he's saying he wants to bring the swagger back and he seems bought in. I was still stuck on that. No, this turns out he was always using Maryland to get something better. He wants to go back to the Big East. And all of the stuff that he said throughout the week, he is a clown. He goes on and says all that stuff. And then yesterday, talks to the media like they're a joke. When they ask a question, no, tough guy. You want to keep running your mouth? Answer the question again. Instead of saying, oh, well, how good Florida is.
Walter Clayton Jr.
Yeah, Walter Clayton. No, bro, you're a joke. I do think, will be coaching with a foot out the door tonight. I don't think they're going to get blown out because in today's day and age, it's a little different than when he was at Seton Hall. The NIL was not here yet. At Seton Hall, he lost by 30 to TCU and knew he was going to Maryland. I don't expect that to happen. I think these guys are bought in. I think they want to win. I think they're going to play hard, and it'll be a good game. But I'm just ready for him to be out. I'm ready to see the alert that he is going to Villanova. And again, I will root against Villanova with every bone in my body.
If they lose tonight, the alert might come in the morning.
And look, I'm just going to say that, is this the way I would want it to go down? No. Do the kids deserve better than this? Yes. Does Maryland's fans and boosters deserve better than this? Yes. But if the end game is Damon Evans is gone, the new AD understands that basketball is the moneymaker, the revenue share leans that way, they are truly offering $5 million a year, which if they are, they can get a better coach than Willard.
Yeah.
And that person might not just use it as quite the stepping stone he did. Like, I don't think all hope is lost. And you can find somebody with a better resume than Willard to come in here tomorrow and take the job.
Yeah, there's already a name
out there. I think some of this probably dragged them kicking and screaming into the light and made them see that this is what it's going to take. Now, did Willard have to say all that out loud? No. But I still think they can upgrade here. And I think the program can be okay, more than okay, moving forward. But yeah, he's all about him.
Yeah, I think our opinion collectively has really done a 180 in the last 48 hours on Kevin Willard. And
he's been exposed. He's exposed himself.
It will never change again.
No.
Nah. Coming up next, Kevin Willard and this Maryland situation shines a light on the future of big-time college athletics. And where are we headed? Time for a little necessary roughness next here on The Fan. Early in the show, we had an opportunity to talk with Boomer Esiason. Obviously, Maryland alum about what's going on at Maryland now, and he lamented about the future of major college sports. Well, earlier this week, I think it was yesterday, Tom Izzo, head coach at Michigan State, was asked about the timing of the portal opening in college basketball.
You know, I'm going to worry today about the guys I got in this program that have done an incredible job this year, and that's it. And if that costs me later, so be it. But Tom Izzo isn't cheating the people that he has that have been loyal to him for this chaos that is going on out there. Is that cool? You got enough?
You know, I wanted to ask today because I know we'll talk to you.
No, because you don't understand. When I came back Sunday night, that was it. There was nothing on my mind but giving these guys a chance to win one more game, get to Elite Eight, and one more game, and have a memory that'll last their entire life, their kids' life, and their grandkids' life. Because that's what it is. And so excuse me for being passionate about it or pissed off about it, whichever words you want to use. But I'm not going to talk about it because it's not fair.
A couple of things. Number one, that was brilliant, and we'll get to that in a second. But a tradition like no other, Tyler O'Neill hitting opening day home runs, just hit a three-run bomb.
Opposite field
to right. Orioles lead the Blue Jays 5-0. We were just about to lament the fact they had first and second nobody out and couldn't get the runners over, and then he just hits a three-run bomb. So, alas, let's get back to what Tom Izzo was talking about. I was just saying to Beltway Bender in the break, we went to the Michigan State-Maryland game, and we got a chance to listen to Izzo in the post game. And we make fun of what he does during the game, and he has his sway over officials.
Yes.
But he was very impressive talking after the game. And he was impressive right there, and it's got to be frustrating for a guy like that because it's like the Wild West, and nothing makes sense with everything.
Well, I kind of feel like they need a commissioner of some sort because they now are, and they've always been big business, and they've always been professional, but now it's fully professional. And you think about the intricacies, right? And when we talked to Boomer, he brought up, you know, at some point we think there's a salary cap that's going to come into this and how much of the budget's going to this and that. Like, don't they need to then just go to the next step? Like these teams with collectively bargained sports have, which is an off-season calendar. And you end some of this chaos and you create a start of the league year and that's when the portal madness starts and you push it back a little bit to let the people who are still involved in this thing playing the biggest games of their lives focus solely on that. Like, don't we need to bring a little structure here? Am I crazy to think that's where this should be going?
Wouldn't common sense just prevail and you have the portal open after the championship?
Part of the problem is the NCAA is so incompetent, and then they finally did this, and of course they did it haphazardly because that's on brand for them. So like everybody wanted this, they finally acquiesced, but they do it wrong because they do everything wrong.
It doesn't make any sense.
No.
I mean, anyway.
The season's still going on.
You have 16 schools that are still fighting for their lives right now in your big thing. The entire season builds to the NCAA tournament. And it's a distraction at this point for the coaches and the programs.
I just don't know why it would be so difficult to just say that the NCAA Division I college basketball off-season transaction period begins on April 15th. And it runs through whatever, and you create a cutoff point. Like, wouldn't that be the first step towards turning this from mass chaos into something a little more structured?
Yeah.
Right? Or maybe we all decide that we push it back till May 1st. Why? So that the coaching thing doesn't start as soon as it happens, and you don't have situations like this with Maryland where you got to, you know, bleep or get off the pot while your team's still playing. If you really want to be the next guy at Villanova, then you've got to give them the wink. If nobody can get into the portal until May the 1st, then the mad scramble to get your coach done in March wouldn't be the same.
To take it a step further, he wants to get to Villanova to get started. Maryland's got to rush to get their next guy for the same exact reason. Whoever that's going to be, he's got to get to work.
So if the portal doesn't open until May the 1st, wouldn't that alleviate some of this coaching craziness as well?
Correct.
Why would that be so difficult?
Because
Midnight Madness isn't until November.
Who thought that it was a good idea to open it on Monday? It doesn't make any sense.
The Mensa's at the NCAA. That's who.
Like, it's common sense.
Coming up next, by the way, if you're just tuning in, Orioles lead the Blue Jays 5-0. Tyler O'Neill, a 3-run homer.
I think that's actually 7-0 in Canada.
Yes. The conversion rate.
It's like the late start. Yeah, everything's a little different.
Six straight opening days with a home run for Tyler O'Neill.
That's crazy.
Adley homered in the first, 5-0. Cedric Mullins infield hit for the fifth run. Coming up next, though, time for bounce back, fall back. Bone asks us crazy questions. You find out what we think. That's next here on the
PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show Early Wedge on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fan.
Alrighty. Nothing to review because we got plays for tonight's Terps games and then the 3 other Sweet 16 games. But we'll get into some O's and tomorrow's slate of college hoops. Saw Cedric Mullins already take off and attempt to steal a bag.
Yes.
He got thrown out. But Jackson Holliday, he was running a lot during spring training. Jackson Holliday, just one. We'll have a stolen base this series. Just one, Ken.
4-game series?
4-game series.
Bounce back.
I'm going to say he attempts to steal, but it's thrown out.
Attempts.
Interesting.
As a fallback for those.
Yes.
Attempts
people
to
driving.
Steal, but thrown out. Tomoyuki Sugano.
Easy for you to say.
Set to make his MLB debut on Sunday. He will earn a win in his first start. Earn a win, Jason.
As far as I know, you still have to go 5 innings to.
You do?
You do 5? That's true.
But hey, if you can get to 5, this Orioles lineup.
Bone, I'm going to say 4 2/3.
Ugh. That's a fallback. 4 2/3.
2 earned.
2 earned.
1 strikeout.
1 K.
No walks.
No walks. Ken.
Leaves with ducks on the pond.
Oh, okay. Hold on.
Ah.
Leaves.
Keegan Aiken bails him out.
Ducks on the pond. Keegan Aiken bails him out. All right, Ken.
I'm more bullish on Sugano than Jason, but I'm not going to, like, they're going to be very, they're not going to let him, and I don't think he's a guy that's going to go deep into games to begin with, but I don't know that he gets to 5 innings. I'm going to fall back.
Excuse me. Part of these, a little tough because it's already going on, and Adley Rutschman has already accomplished what I was going to ask. I was going to say Adley Rutschman will have 2 multi-hit games this series.
Oh,
he
so
already
now he
has one. So now he just needs one. But you know what? I'll still ask the question. Ken, he has another multi-hit game this series.
I think this is a big Adley season. We talked about it in the bold predictions.
Yeah.
I will bounce back on. And you know what I loved about today? He crushes the home run, and then he just pokes an opposite field single.
Yep.
He looks like the Adley Rutschman we saw before the second half of last year. I'm going to bounce back.
He took his lumberjack cut early in the second at-bat, and then when he got behind in the count, he just poked it the other way. Beautiful. Bone, I think he's getting off to a hot start, and he's gotten off to hot starts in years past as well. I'm not sold on this Blue Jays bullpen. Some of their starters are okay. Yeah, I think he's got another multi-knock game in him.
Again, a little tough because the O's are up 6-0 right now. But I was going to say 2 different players will attempt to close out a game this series. Jason.
Well, they've obviously
not a
got to be
situation.
In a closing situation. I got a feeling these games might be a little lopsided, and they're going to be judicious, obviously, with Felix. So he might even pitch in a non-save situation in this one.
Yeah.
I'm going to say they get one save in this series.
As a fallback, one save
so is it
in the series.
Two different save opportunities or two saves?
No. Well, it would be two. No, I'm just saying attempt to close it out. Because who knows? But
yeah, it could be a blown save.
Two different guys attempt to close out a game.
Are we going by the technicality of baseball stats? Because, like, for example,
how else are we going to do it? It's either a safe situation or it's not.
But they give blown saves in like the seventh inning sometimes or eighth inning when a guy comes in with a lead and they give up the lead.
But he would have had to pitch multiple innings to get the save in that situation.
You'll see in the stat, like blown save, if he gives up a lead in the eighth inning.
Because they don't know how long he could have gone.
Yeah. So. Like, is this a ninth
inning?
We're
going to say ninth.
This is between bone and the bone simulator.
That's why I have to ask.
Ninth inning.
Ninth inning.
Do you need to consult with the bone simulator before you? Are you sure?
It's at home. It's at home.
Yeah, you can't dial up modem it like the old school. AOL.
Would you say fallback?
I'm gonna fall back on
fallback. Okay, let's get to hoops action.
Sorry to complicate.
No, you're fine. No dumb questions here.
There you go. It's a safe space.
Yeah, it is.
Like RG3's Twitter.
Let's get to tomorrow's Sweet 16 action. Ken, Michigan State covers the 3.5-point spread against Ole Miss.
I am a big Izzo guy in March, and usually if he loses, as he has periodically, it's early. I'm going to say they win and they cover, bounce back.
Bone, I'm going to say Sparty 70.
I just threw my shoulder out.
Like a synapse.
I popped something in my shoulder. Oh, Bone, I'm going to say Sparty scores 72 points.
72.
And they win by three.
And win by three.
Well, that's not a cover. Fallback.
What's that mean?
That is a fallback. Yeah.
You made that difficult for the people at home.
What's that mean, though, Bone?
A fallback.
Doesn't just mean that.
No, if they scored 72.
Come on. 72-69.
Ah, Bone.
Nice.
Bone missed it.
Yeah, I did. That was a swing and a miss. Tennessee covers the 4.5-point spread against Kentucky, Jason.
I stayed away. This game is weird to me. I think Tennessee is definitely the better team now, but Kentucky beat them.
Twice.
I could see Kentucky winning this game by 7 points or more, Bone.
Kentucky win.
I'm sorry.
Oh.
Tennessee.
Mm. That's a bounce back.
Yeah, we had to. Sorry. At home.
Thank you for interpreting.
Yes.
Thank you for your service, Bone. Yeah.
Thank you for your service.
Yes. I do. I don't want to agree with Jason all the time, but I do think Tennessee's the better team, but it is weird that Kentucky has beaten them twice. What do they say? The hardest thing to do is to beat a team three times. Yeah. I'm going to say. The Tennessee wins. What's the spread? 4.5? They win, but they don't cover, so it's a fallback.
That is a fallback.
They win by two.
Auburn covers the 9.5-point spread against Michigan. Ken.
I want this to... I think Michigan's winning this basketball game.
Spicy.
Auburn to win.
Spicy.
But they have not looked right for a few weeks now. And for a team that, like, everybody on that team's like 28 years old, they seem to be the dumbest team in basketball. I'm going to fall back.
Auburn, 87. Michigan, 69.
Oh!
That's a big blowout. Yeah.
Yep.
That's a Matabike bloodbath.
That's a bloodbath.
It didn't work out for Matabike.
No. Houston covers the 8.5-point spread against Purdue. Jason.
I think this is a low-scoring, ugly affair. I like the under here a lot. That's a big nut to cover if it is, in fact, an under game.
Hello.
A nut to cover.
I'm going to say.
That's a combined metaphor right
I'm
there.
I'm going to say. That Houston wins by six.
It's a fallback for those at home.
So, Purdue deserves to be there. They've won the games in front of them. That said, they have not been tested in said games. I think Houston is really good. I think Houston covers. That's a bounce back for me.
Yeah.
Coming up next,
on said program. By the way, Jimmy Patsos in studio coming up at 5 o'clock. Get his thoughts on the Terps. We have a poll out. Go to IA1057, the fan, to vote. It's about Kevin Willard, and should he be coaching this game this evening with everything in the atmosphere? We'll update said poll next here on the fan. Quick Oriole update. We're in the top of the fifth. Orioles now lead 6-2. Cedric Mullins homered in the top of the fourth to make it 6-0. And then Andre Jimenez hit a two-run homer for the Blue Jays in the bottom of the fourth. It's the only hit the Blue Jays have in this game. Guerrero had walked. But let's get back to the Terps. And obviously, Jimmy Patsos is going to join us in the studio at 5 o'clock. If they take on Florida tonight at 7:30, pregame coverage 6:30 right here on 105.7 The Fan. And Kevin Willard, it sounds like he is gonzo to Villanova, but he is still coaching the team. And the question we have posed, Bone, is should he be coaching the team?
IA 105.7 The Fan's how you can vote on this poll. This poll is nearing 700 votes. Assuming Kevin Willard is gone to Villanova, should Maryland pull a Bo Schembechler and fire Willard immediately? Having someone else, maybe David Cox, coach the team tonight, or let Willard finish what he started? A Maryland man coaches Maryland, 58.6%. Ride with Willard, 41.4%.
That's been good. It started, it was sitting about 300 votes. It was a 65-35, so it has gone the other way.
I'd vote for Bobby D.
I would love Bobby.
That's a Maryland man. Bobby
D. Be hard to get him out there.
He is a Maryland man. That's a long flight from Key West to San Francisco. Yeah.
Okay, so let's move it forward. It's now established, and it's established because, let's face it, it's Maryland people who've been leaking it.
Yes.
That there's $5 million per year on the table for the next Maryland head coach if they think he's worthy of it, and that they were willing to meet Willard's demands about revenue share and, you know, NIL. So they're sending a signal to the marketplace that we don't just want to be a stepping stone. Mm-mm. We are learning from this, and that the next AD who we hire, whether it's from within or from without, will be willing to take on these same contractual stipulations that we were willing to do for Willard. So it tells me that this is not Simpkins. This is not Tony Skin. This is somebody yes. who's an established Power Five, successful, winning head coach who wants to be at Maryland more than Kevin Willard. That's what it tells me.
Yes. I'd agree with that. And
well, they have to, because I feel like if you hire one of those names, then you are sort of that stepping stone. You have to go out and make a good hire.
Well, they're telling the world.
Yeah, for sure.
We're going to show you who Absolutely. We are. Don't listen to what Willard says we are. Yeah. We're going to show you through what we're willing to give you where this program can go and what kind of resources you're going to have. Don't listen to the guy complaining about his corporate card.
Yeah.
Listen to us.
And Beltway Ben, give me a thumbs up if you with me on this. The name that's out there is Buzz Williams, correct? Yeah, Buzz Williams, the Texas A&M coach. That seems to be the name that is being linked to Maryland, and talking to some people last night. Seems to be very interested in coming to Maryland.
So there's buzz about Buzz.
There's buzz about Buzz. Now, Buzz has gotten around. He started at Marquette.
Yeah.
Then he went to Virginia Tech. Now he's at Texas A&M. And so this could be the fourth stop for Buzz Williams.
And Texas A&M was what, a 3 seed?
Four seed. Yeah, they lost to Michigan, the 5
right.
seed.
And so that's, and the highest Kevin Willard's ever been in the tournament is?
This year, four
and
seed.
And they were a 4 seed.
Yeah.
Who would you say at the time of hiring, if it were to be Buzz, say, 3 days from now, and Willard 3 years ago, who would you say in real time had the better coaching resume?
Oh, it's not close. It's Buzz Williams.
This is Willard's first Sweet 16.
Correct, right? So I guess what I'm saying is, as much as, and I was one of them saying you can't let Willard go, part of the reason I'm saying you can't get Willard go is because I wasn't sure they were going to pay anybody $5 million.
Mm-hmm.
If you're willing to do this, you don't need Kevin Willard to get back to another Sweet 16.
But Buzz Williams or led Marquette to back-to-back Sweet 16s.
Yeah. So Buzz has accomplished way more in his career than Kevin Willard.
Yes.
And if Buzz were to come here now at this stage of his career, I don't think he'd be looking to leave in 3 years, coming in making $5 million a year.
No.
And he's never bounced around like that either.
He's usually a 6 to 7 year guy. Like he was at Marquette from 08 to 14 and Virginia Tech from 14 to 19. And Texas A&M, he got there in 19 and now it's 2025. That's 6 years, you know?
Texas A&M, not a basketball school.
No, the SEC, and I know people who are huge SEC people, and like my buddy's an Auburn guy. I just saw him this weekend at my bachelor party. He wanted to watch the Auburn game, but Auburn basketball, as good as they are, is a distraction until football season. It's all about football in the SEC.
And as good as the Big Ten is, what did the SEC do this year? 14 teams in?
And they got seven.
And they got half the Sweet 16?
Yeah.
So if you're Buzz, you're probably thinking, all things being equal, I might rather bang heads in the second best conference in America than the best.
Yeah. And you go to what he thinks is a basketball school. Now, he was at a basketball school in Marquette.
Yes.
But that was years ago. Now he could go to a basketball school after two stops at football schools, Virginia Tech and Texas A&M.
And a basketball school that on a down night, we complain because there's only 14,000 people in the arena. Yeah. I'm saying only. A lot there of these was arenas a, there don't was a tw- fit 14,000.
There was a tweet out there yesterday. Maryland was one of four schools in the country whose basketball program outdrew their football program last year. Attendance. Kansas was one. I think Duke was one.
And
like
you
paid attendance.
And you're gonna come here and you're going to get all the stuff that Willard was bitching about.
Yes.
That's the thing. You're going to get the enhanced resources.
And yes. Will the AD be Damon Evans?
No,
it will
not.
We can confirm that. He just posted a video on
Twitter.
So
I guess what I'm saying is there is life after Kevin Willard, and it probably starts tonight, unfortunately, because this is going to be a tough matchup for them under any circumstances. But a good riddance to that guy.
To
Willard. To Kevin Willard.
To both, Damon Evans and Kevin Willard.
Oh, to both.
Yeah. I just wanted to make sure.
It was a pretty sordid saga.
Yeah.
And it's a shame that this had to come, you know, and cast a shadow over what these young men had accomplished and have accomplished. But I Buzz has got my vote.
I'm in for Buzz Williams. I like Buzz Williams.
No, Street's not saying anything about my man Mick Cronin?
I don't think so.
Guy can dream.
Nah, yeah.
I just think it'd be cool to have a basketball coach in town who's smaller than me.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I'm taller than him.
And might have more hate in his heart.
I would challenge him to a tall off.
That's a close one.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He might
that's
have more
That's a close
hate.
One.
I think I out-tall him, but he out-hates me.
Oh,
no.
Okay.
Right. No.
That's a hate Olympics right there.
I don't know. But I guess it's not to be. I'm Team Buzz. I'm here for it. Beltway Ben, very, very quiet.
Yeah.
Semi-team Buzz. I mean, the team just made the Sweet 16 and your coach is running away. Again,
I'm
with you. I agree. But this is BS to me and the rest of the fans. And every donor and every single person he told he was coming back if he was given what he wanted, it's a slap in the face. And again, I will welcome Buzz, but I do hope that it's Buzz by Friday night so we can work on the portal and get things situated versus Buzz next Wednesday when the top 10 guys are already gone.
Coming up next, we'll talk more Maryland basketball. Sunshine himself. Just saw him walking across the
Frankie the Wonder Pop with him? I can't see.
I didn't see. I did see
Bones
Jimmy.
Got the window closed.
Jimmy Patsos joins us next here on The Fan.